Hello. Thank you. This is Sarab, please. Today's the day I think I'm going to be making a bit of a fool of myself, because I'm not just going to be talking, I'm going to be singing. Well, so you've been warned. You've got in front of you two sheets. You should have one with Vayigash on the top and one with Re'eh on the top. The Re'eh one I'm going to deal with first in terms of the text. But you do have at the bottom of the Vayigash page the actual list of the musical notes. So we will start off with those with an introduction. So you should have one with Vayigash on the top and one with Re'eh on top. There's more over here. The Chidor writes, and Hashem HaGadolim, that the musical notes, the lein, or the trop, as some people call them, is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, handed down from as long ago as Moshe Rabbeinu himself. There is reference to the musical notes in a number of Gemaras, in Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, which brings from the idea of understanding the Mikra from a pasuk in Nehemiah, and there's a similar sentiment in the Gemara Chagigah Daf Vav Amud Beis, stressing the importance of the musical notes. There's a Gemara Brachas Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, which talks about when one cleans oneself, when one comes from the Beis Hakisei, one should use the left hand rather than the right hand. There are a number of views as to what the right hand is special for. The well-known one is that it puts on the tefillin, but Rabbi Akiva says because it's the right hand which is pointing at the musical notes in the Sefer Torah. There's also a reference in Gemara Eruvin, Kafalaf on the bass, and there's a Ma'ashon on it which stresses the importance of the musical notes. And in the halacha itself, it says that when you correct somebody who is laning, if they make a mistake in terms of the meaning of the words, you don't have to correct them when it comes to the wrong musical notes being laned, but you should tell them off about it afterwards. In a nice, polite, amicable way, of course. Hence the importance. And the reason why the musical notes are particularly so important is because they are the punctuation of the words. You don't have full stops and commas and question marks or whatever in the Sefer Torah. The musical notes lend themselves to giving meaning to the words. In addition, we will find today not only do they give a punctuation, but they might also give certain explanations to the psukim. We will start with the very first text. Oh, sorry, let's first just look at the musical notes. At the bottom of the Vayigash page, you've got the actual names of the notes. And won't be time to go through all of them properly, and no doubt everybody is familiar with them already. The first one there is Kadmo, and there are really two kinds of musical notes. There's the Meshores kind, as they're called, which sort of assist the main ones. They are the ancillary ones. Kadmo usually leads you into something. And unfortunately, a lot of people seem to confuse the Kadmo with the Pashto. The Pashto has a higher note and is sort of a note of its own, whereas the Kadmo leads you into something. There is the double Pashto, just to show that the note where you stress the Pashto is earlier on in the word, not to be confused with a Kadmo. So it might just be pronounced the same way as a Pashto. So you've got there the Munach Zarko, Munach Sego, which we're very much familiar with. And then you've got Munach Revi, or Revia, which is a foursome note. Revi, 1, 2, 3, 4. So we'll be dealing with those in a little bit later. And then you've got the others. Mataf Pashto, Munach, okay, Pashto, okay, etc. There is an interesting one. The next line is the Esnachto, which is the collar, you might say, in the middle of a sentence. Poser is a very high note. And we've got in the next line, in the center, Kadmo v'Azlo, which is traditionally sung Kadmo v'Azlo. And then you've got Azlo Geresh, Gershayim. And then you've got Dargo Tavir. And another interesting one at the beginning of the last line is Shalsheles, which in fact only occurs four times in the Torah, and is a word meaning, in fact, a chain. And that is traditionally sung in a very winding sort of way, Shalshelas, or something of that nature. Ballet Creole, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Later.
Right, so now what we'll do is look at first Re'e, which is the first one on the other sheet, which is the beginning of the Seder of Re'e, and there, Pasuk Lamed, you've got Halo Heimot. So we're going to sing it. Halo Heimot, which is an Azal Geresh, Be'eve Hayardei, Munach Revi, Acharei, which is a Pashto, Derech, which is a Yesiv, Mavo Hashemesh. Now, very often, when you got the word acharei with derech after it, you would get acharei derech, okay, after the way. But you don't have that. You got acharei, and that musical note creates a pause after acharei, and something new comes along with the word derech because you've got the yasiv. The yasiv is a much higher note, really, than the pashto, and usually starts off something. So Rashi makes the point. If you look halfway down in the Rashi, on Pasuk Lamed, Acharei, Achar Ha'avoras Hayardei, Harbei V'Halal Mirocham. What does Acharei mean? Acharei is referring not to what's coming after the phrase, it's coming to what's before the phrase in Eva Hayardei, namely, the Eva Hayardei, Acharei, and Yonda, and beyond that, comma, and then we're talking about something else. Derech Mavar Shemesh. So if you look at the next Rashi, Derech Mavar Shemesh, Lahalon Menayardei, Letzad Marov, Vatam HaMikra, and the musical note, Mochiach, is to teach you, Shehein Shnei Devarim. There are two different things, Shemil Kudu Shnei B'Shnei Tavim. There are two different musical notes, Acharei, Nochud B'Pashto. The Acharei has on it the Pashto, the high note. The Derech, Nokud the Mashvel is the Mashvel, literally means the low one because it's written underneath the word. That's the Yasiv. Vehu Dogush, and there is Dogesh, a dot, in the Dalad of Derech. Because normally when you say Acharei Derech, you don't have a Dogesh in the Dalad because it's open from the word before. And therefore, there wouldn't be a Dogesh in it. But because there is a Dogesh in it, it's because it's closed from the word before. But you've got an open syllable from Acharei. Vimhoya Acharei Derech, if it would have been Acharei Derech, Diborechot Hoya, it would have been one expression, Nokud Acharei v'Meshores, then you would have musically noted the Acharei with a Meshores b'Shofar, which he means the Mapach. Mapach, to lead into the Pashto. Hopuch, the other way, Derech Pashto v'Rofo. But Derech has in fact, Derech would have a Pashto, but it's not that way. What you have is Acharei is the high note, and Derech is the new note, which is the Yasiv. Why? Because they are two different places. And the only way you can recognize this is from the musical notes. There's further explanation on this in the Sifsei Chachamim, but the print is very small. But the example the Sifsei Chachamim brings, for example, is like with Avraham Avinu, Acharei Devarim Ha'ela, with the Yakedah. Acharei is leading you into something else. That's the way the word usually is. But here, because the Acharei is at the end of the phrase, you have to have this block in the musical notes, and then you start afresh. So that's one example where you get the actual meaning and punctuation of the sentence coming from the musical notes.
Connected on that
too, isn't it Achara? Yeah. Oh yes, in the Akedah, Achara has very high. Yes, actually, he says here, that I'm wrong, Acharei has a very more Eila. It's another one. Yes, sorry. Yes. It's another one. Okay. I'd like to now move on to the subject of the Shalsheles, because that's always a nice treat to hear one of those, because we've only got four in the Torah. And the first one, well, then I haven't written them properly in order. I've got here Vayeshev. I've got Vayera, I've got Chayesora, and Vayikrosal. So we'll just go through those. The first one, Vayeshev, I'll start with, even though it's not the first one in the Torah. Pasuk Ches is talking about the story of Joseph, who is tempted by Potiphar, who almost is tempted by Potiphar's wife. And Yosef refuses. So Pasuk Ches, Vayamoe, and he refused. Vayamoein, and then Vayomer Eishes Adonov, and then he starts explaining to her his justification for refusing her advances. The traditional explanation for the Shalsheles is hesitation. That the person who is being talked about, and Shalsheles always occurs at the very beginning of a sentence, that person is hesitating. That indeed, he is being tempted in a way. He is a person who is liable to be tempted and feels like succumbing to that temptation. But in the end, he does resist. But he's wavering. And just like the Shalsheles, as you can see written on the top of Vayomer, is a waving line, that person is wavering. He is hesitating. Actually, it was my father who taught me that the Shalsheles is the person who is hesitating. But I have seen it written, and I haven't got a source to quote, but there's something I can show you later. The hesitation we also get in Vayera, if you look there, it's talking about Lot, who is leaving Sodom, which is about to be destroyed. But Lot isn't really that keen to leave Sodom, because he's got all his finances there. So you've got the apostle test on Vayismamo, he hesitates. Which is really the meaning of that word. And they grab him and his wife and his sons, and off they go. Why is he hesitating? You've got their Rashi printed just underneath. In order to save his money. The banks were closed. He wanted to wait until the following morning to draw out his money. All his assets, his properties left behind. You know what they must be worth? Mind you, they wouldn't be worth anything in 10 minutes' time. But he's hesitating. There's the Shalsheles. You've got another Shalsheles then in Chaye Soro. That's Eliezer, who is finding a wife for Yitzchok. But Eliezer, you know, he's got a daughter of his own who he'd like to marry off into such a chosh of a family. So although he is carrying out his master's instructions, he hesitates. So we got there the Vayomar in Pasuk Yudbeis, Vayomar, and so on. And he brings out his dialogue to make the Shidduch. And in Tzav, you've got also a Shalsheles, when Moshe Rabbeinu in the inauguration of the Mishkan, he does a Shechita. Before he hands over to Aaron, who is going to do the Kahuna, Moshe Rabbeinu starts off the whole procedure, and he does the Shechita, Vayishchot. He is hesitating as well. Why? Because he ideally would like the Kahuna for himself. And when he's doing the Shechita, he feels like, how nice it would be if I could always do this. But he's got to hand it over to Aaron, as I'll tell us that he was punished, Moshe Rabbeinu, because he hesitated, and because he did not immediately obey God's wishes in going to Pyro and to the Bnei Yisrael in the story of Shemos. He, as a result, was deprived of the Kohuna, and it was given to Aaron. Hence the Shalsheles on Vayishchok. But I found another explanation to the idea of Shalsheles. And that is the word Shalsheles, which means a chain. What does it mean by a chain? So I found a very interesting explanation in the Perush Ksav HaKabbalah al HaTorah. And there, in Vayeshev, Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Ches, you haven't got the text in front of you, but I'll read it out. And he talks about the idea of the Shalsheles being a chain. What does it mean, a chain? When Yosef HaTzadik decided that he's not going to go ahead and succumb to temptation, he said no. He drew the chain around himself. He tied himself to a decision. When you make a decision, and you stick to it. And only afterwards, you start explaining yourself. So, Sarakabbalah, Derech Bnei Odom. It is the way of human beings. Im Yivoh Alav Anoshim. Other people come along, and they try and persuade him that Dvar Averos do something wrong. Yarben Egdom, Tanos Lashtikom, he might try to bring explanations and justifications to shut them up. But MS ain't there to say it's Yatsir, but that's not the way to save yourself. Because you've got to remember that the person who tries to tempt you or seduce you has a very clever tongue. So that's Huknos Yashvis, and that will destroy One should really just decide straight away. One will not do the Avera in any circumstances. And then, afterwards, he can give his explanations. One can afterwards explain Tanosav Neged HaMafatzeh. And that is the expression of Vayamoin, Sha'omar Khan. Shehichnit Miyav, he decided straight away, Lamotbov. Now there are different explanations about Yosef HaTzadik. Some say he was a wonderful man because he said straight away, I refuse, and that's it. Others say, well, the way he gives his whole explanation afterwards, Vayamoin says, Hey, Madanu, lo yodaiti, ma, but boy, is that my master's not in hell, how can I sin against Hashem? He's giving all these things. He shouldn't be wavering in his explanation. The explanation given here is by a mind, and he refused. Full stop. And then afterwards he gave his explanations. By a mind means he drew the chain around himself. He says, right, I'm saying no. And this is in fact important Musa. Because when the Yetzer Hara tries to tempt us, and easily can cheat us into doing something which we don't really want to do, and we start debating it. We might not have somebody else talking to us, like the Ksala Kabbalah is talking about. It could be our own brain saying to us, well, you know, it's not that bad. And you start doing it inside yourself. Shall I do it? Shall I do it? Well, it's only once, and I've done it before in the case. And then all these justifications start entering one's brain through the Yetzer Hara. If you start debating something, then it's very, very likely that in the end, you will give in and you will do the Aveira. Because you're not really operating pure logic. The Yetzer Hara has a way of making it look like logic, but it isn't really. And it gets right inside your brain capturing it. So the way to deal with that Yetzer Hara is not to debate with it. Don't put him on an equal footing. First you say, no, that's it. I'm not discussing it. I'm not debating it. I know I mustn't do it. That's the end of the story. The answer is no. You tie the chain around yourself. And then afterwards, once you've got that chain set, and you know for sure that you're not going to do the Avera, yes, okay, give your reasons, your justifications. And that is the way of Musa. That's what Yosef HaTzadik is doing here. So, Sava Kabbalah, first he refuses. He tries the chain. That's the Shal Sheles. But if you look in the left-hand column, you'll see a Rabbeinu Bechaye there, who also speaks about the musical intonation on this Pasuk. If you look there in the Rabbeinu Bechaye, which is on the left-hand side of your Vayesh extract, look at the third line down, Vahatam, and the musical note, Sheba Milas Vayamo'ein, which is on the Vayamo'ein, Maral Isso Hadova, it's teaching about the forbiddens of the thing, Baal Heyoso Nimna Etzlo, Miman Bo Bataklis Hamir, where he is restraining himself to make sure he refuses within the purpose of refusing, Shari Mitoch HaTamim Sheba Torah, within the musical notes of the Torah, Anu Avinim Mashalo Nichtavo. We can understand what is not actually written in the Torah. What? K'inyan HaTenuos Sheba Odom, and this is best translated as the body language of a person, Shemitocham Meida Kavonas Libo. By means of that body language, we will know what the intentions are of his heart. So he's coming really back to our first explanation, where he was wavering. And by this, Shal Sheles says, Rabbeinu Bechaye, Yosef HaTzadik's body language was, shall I, shan't I, maybe I will, maybe I won't. He almost is going to do the Aveira. And that is the Shal Sheles. And he's saying that is the body language of the person, and that is denoted inside the music note. This idea of the chain also can be applied to these other three examples of Shal Sheles, Vayera, Chayesara, and Tzav. Because in the case of Lot, he, in a way, was chaining himself up, or trying to his assets, wanting to stay in Sodom. Eliezer wanted to chain himself to the idea of marrying off his daughter to Yitzchok. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to chain himself up to the idea of Kahuna. So there are these two explanations. I heard just last night, in a very interesting way, from Reb Gershon Hepner, that we find in an interesting way in Vayera, when Avraham Avinu serves, or wants to serve the food, we often get a Kadmov Azlo, which is a very interesting observation. Kadmov Azlo, Ve'kopas Lechem. Kadmo, what does Kadmo mean? Kadam means one gets up early. The Azla, Ozal, means one goes. One gets up and one does something quickly. And we find that Avraham Avinu was very keen and very rushed to serve nice food. So you've got Mechopas Lechem, and then you've got Vayikach Kemor, and he took the butter and the milk, and Vayikach Ben Bakar. You get this constant Kavanah V'Azla when he's running to do something. It comes out from the musical notes. Shkoyach Reb Gershon. Let's now turn to the second page of the handout, and we'll find another idea like this in the Sedra of Vayigash. This is a Vilna Gaon. Vayigash Elav Yehuda Layamer Biadani. What's going on here? Yehuda steps forward and approaches Yosef. Yosef says, I'll keep that Binyamin. You lot can go home. And Yehuda is feeling very angry about this, and he steps forward and challenges Yosef, and gives him this whole dialogue, which is quite confrontational. The question is asked, why does Yehuda step forward here? Why isn't it Reuven, after all? Reuven is the Bechor. So Reuven should lead the team, as it were, and say to Yosef, look here, this is not on. But it's not Reuven, it's Yehuda. Now we will recall that Reuven said to his father, look, if Binyamin doesn't come back, then my sons will die. And Yaakov wasn't very impressed with that. He says, that's for me a promise that your sons should die? Thank you very much. I don't need that sort of promise. So Yehuda steps forward and says to his father, now look here, we'll take Binyamin with, and I promise you, on my Olam Haba, that he will come back. So Yehuda was prepared to risk his Olam Haba to make sure that Binyamin returns. Says the Vilna Gaon, that explanation you find in these musical notes. Vayigash Elav Yehuda is Kadmo V'Azla Revia. Why did Kadam V'Ozal Revia? Revia is the fourth son. Revia, da 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 dum. Yehuda, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yehuda is the fourth son. Why did he, Kadmo V'Azla, get up and go forward beyond all the others? Because Zarko Munach Sego, which are the musical notes. Zarko, he was throwing away, Zarek. Munach, his resting place. Sego, of Segula, of redemption. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Kadmo V'Azla Revia, Zarko Munach Sego. Because he was throwing away his own Amabo, that is why the fourth son set forward. That's the Vilna Gaon. An amazing piece.
It's also valid, it's not just the notes which are terrible,
but the
membership is not, but the names of the notes, because it depends on...
Yes, yes, they're right, the names of the notes as well, yeah.
Lots of
times, well, yeah, okay, at the moment I'm sticking to the Ashkenazi names. But there are some variations, we can go into that later. If you look in the Shemos extract, which is the next one down on the right hand side, Perik Aleph, Yud Dalet, which we only read a week or so ago, Vayamaru es Chayehem. So, the Egyptians embittered their lives, the Israelites' lives, Bavodah Koshon, the Chavu Venim, etc. So the question is asked by Chazal, why is it that we were slaves, or why we were in Egypt for only 210 years? We were actually slaves for less than that, because we weren't slaves full time. But the original Gezerah was that we would be in Egypt for 400 years. And that 400 was turned to 210 years. The 400 years is counted from the birth of Yitzchak, and there are various explanations. But we were in Egypt for 210 years, and we should have been there for 400 years. Why was it lessened? Because, say Chazal, the slavery was so harsh. Because it says, Vayamoru es Chayehem. They embittered their lives. And because it was so intensive, we were let out earlier. What are the musical notes on Vayamoru es Chayehem? Kadmova Azlo. Vayamoru es Chayehem. Kadmova Azlo means, Kodam, early. Azlo, we went. We went earlier than originally planned. Why? Because of Vayamoru es Chayehem. Because they embittered their lives. By how much time did we leave earlier? 190. So this 190 is the gematria of Kadmov Asma. Kadmov Asma, says the Chacham Tzvi, is the gematria 190, which is the difference between 400 and 210. Okay, Parshas Kisiso, you've got on the left there. This is talking about the Matzit HaShekel. Ha'ashir lo yarbeh. The Revi'ah is not very clear on the yarbeh, but the yarbeh is the foursome note. So the rich don't give more and the poor don't give less. There are various explanations. The poor people had less money because they gave them the gold calf. So therefore, taxation was the same for everybody. Okay. You've got a revi'ah, the foursome note on the yarbeh. And this is a remez, he says, to the din, that when a person gives money away to tzedakah, a person should not spend more than one-fifth. We don't want a person to become destitute. So you keep four parts to yourself, and the fifth part you give away. Hence the revi'ah for the oshir. The oshir lo yabeh, the rich person, has the revi'ah for the four parts that he keeps to himself. We move down to Esther. You've got quite a chunk there from Megillas Esther.
Can I just say, yes. So that just before it says the nosnu, doesn't it? So which is a kind of asmod. That's saying if you give, that it comes back to you.
Yes, that's a palindrome. And you can read it backwards in the same way as forwards, because the money which you give to tzedakah comes back to you. So very interestingly, yes, kadmova as law, it reflects back. Thank you, that was a very nice one. I have to note that down the next time I do this subject. Megillas Esther. Well, we're not quite in the Purim season yet, but it's not that far away. Pasuk Yud Beis you've got in front of you, or Peret Beis, Megillas Esther, you've got Uva Hagia. And there are two psukim which start with Uva Hagia. One is Pasuk Yud Beis, and one is Pasuk Tes Vov. So we're going to sing both of them. Uva Hagia, Shonarov Narov, Lavo Elamelech Achashverosh. So we're talking in Pasuk Yud Beis about all the other girls who are queuing up to go before Melech Achashverosh, and who want to become the queen of 127 countries. And these girls are chupping. They all want the job of being Her Majesty the Queen. So what are the musical notes on Nara Vanara? Kadmo Viazlo. They're all getting up early and running and quickly. They want to get to the palace and see before the king, before everybody else. So it's Uvagi Yato, Nara Vanara. They're chupping. But what about Queen Esther? Before she's queen, Pasuk Tes Vov, Uvahagia, Tor Esther, Munach, Munach, Bat Avichayil, Munach, Dod, Mordechai. You've got four Munachs there. What does Munach there mean? Munach means to rest. She's holding back. She doesn't want to go before the king. She wants to stay at home with Mordechai. So here you've got in the musical notes, as it's undergone, the difference between Esther and the others. The others are hoping to get ahead. Moby has not, but Esther is Munach, she's resting, trying to restrain herself. There are some others like this. You don't have in front of you an extract from Dvarim Tesvov, Pasuk Ches, which talks about giving tzedakah. Ki pasach tiftach es yodecho. And there you've got a dar sever. Ki pasach tiftach es yodecho. So you've got there a dagra and a sever. And there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yudah Medalev, which talks about Rav Popo, who slipped and broke his foot on a staircase, and he fell down. So Rav Chanina said to him, he says, did any poor person come your way and you didn't give him tzedakah? He says, funny you should mention that. Yes, well, so the Vilna Gaon says the neginas indicate what had happened. Ki pasach tiftach has the musical notes of dargo sevir. Dargo is a step. Sevir is to break. From Sheber, the shin turns into a tog in the Aramaic. So he broke his leg on a step, and that's indicated by if you don't open up your hand, then woe betide you when you walk down that staircase. B'derech Melitza, there is in fact, on this Vayishchot, the Shalsheles we spoke about in Parshas Tzav, there is a common running joke, there aren't any chazan in here at the moment, are there? That the chazan of the shul is usually the shochet. So the warbling which takes place on Vayishchot is usually done by the chazan. Because many communities, the shochet was also the chazan. Okay. You've got in your handout also sideways from the Parsha of Shemini. This is an interesting piece because the word kirvu in the middle there, the third line down, has two musical notes on it. So those of Lein Shemini, this is talking about the sons of Aaron, not of Abihu, who were unauthorized, went into the mikdosh, as it were, and offered up without authority. So an ace of fire came down and consumed them. Aaron was silent, and then Moshe calls Mishael and El Tzophon, who are the cousins. Vayikra Moshe and Mishael and El Tzophon, and Ben Yoziel, Del Daran, Vayomer Aleihem. And then you sing, Kirvu. Now there are two musical notes there, and you've got there written, Hakara Yatim Hakodim Atim Mishael. The Gerushim is done first, and we won't go into what those musical notes are and why, but there are two musical notes on the one word. Sues Achechem Meis Pnei HaKodesh. Take out your brother from so on, and so on, outside into the camp. And if you look in Rashi there, I haven't reproduced in the handout the Rashi, but Rashi there says, really there is a word missing here. Really there should be the word Ukuvaru, and bury them. But because you're just inaugurating this Mishkan, and it's like being before a kala on a wedding day, we don't want to say something which is too morbid. So what does he say? He says, just kirvu, come and draw near, and suis achichem, and take them out. But there is another word which should be there, ukavaru, but it's not there. But it's hinted at in the musical notes, because you've got two special musical notes, which normally you never get together, to indicate that there's another word there, which would have been there, but you're missing it out, in dignity to the holiness of the Mishkan and the joy of the inauguration. And we don't want to reduce that joy because of the death of Moshe and Avihu. There is another explanation, and that is a euphemism, because there is also Rashi which is saying that they didn't actually go inside. Although it says Kirvu, they didn't actually go in. They used some metal hook to draw them out, a spear to draw them out, so as not to go into the mikdash themselves. And because of the euphemism, there is an indication to the euphemism by having this extra musical note. Right. Well, yes. We'll make this competition. Everybody has to come up with their own explanations as to what and why. What we've seen then, in the limited time that we have had, is an eye-opener on something which we often don't really give too much attention to, particularly after our bar mitzvahs. The musical notes are handed down halacha l'Moshe miSinai. We see how not only do they influence the punctuation, but also the meanings and how to understand the sentences which we have. But above all, what is so significant, I think, about this is that Chazal tell us Hashir Ma'orer Halev. Song, music, awakens our hearts. If a person sometimes feels a bit despondent and they play a bit of music, it cheers them up. And on happy occasions, we will always play music. And on sad occasions, whether it's Tisha B'Av or Avelis, we don't play music. 3 weeks. Hashim Ha'alev. And I've seen it written then in original texts, when the Shnayis were first written down, they had musical notes written on those. It's brought down in one or two sources. And the idea was that when people are learning Torah, they should be singing it. Because Hashim Ha'alev. And that gives us the extra emotional tie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we lay out a tefillin, we have Shel Rosh, which represents our intellect, and we have our Shel Yad, which is against our heart, which represents our emotion. And only with those two combined factors can we serve Hashem properly. Thank you very much.
Particularly eager to sponsor this month's year in memory of his late father.
If anybody would like to go on the next one's here, please let me know. And I'm going to